Hello everyone, welcome to a new Prostwein Café. Today I'm here with two guests. My guests are Andrea Delgado and Daniel Calegari from the Universidad de la República in Uruguay, Montevideo. Welcome Andrea, welcome Daniel.
Thank you and hello.
Thanks. Hi everyone.
Hi. We're very grateful to have you here today. We're talking about a lot of things, a really interesting case study that both of you have done using open data, visualizing the bus lines in the Montevideo traffic system. But it's also always really great to be able to do this live with all of you watching right now. So for that reason, we have a chat option for you so you can talk with us while we are on the air, adding your comments and questions. And you can do this right on the website where you are seeing this right now, just below the video. You don't need a password. You just enter your name and then you are in the chat and you can talk to us there. And so these cafe sessions, they allow us to have this interaction with all of you, to get feedback and comments. And that's one of the really nice things about it. And actually, the case study that we are talking today about with Andreas and Daniel, we published the case study on Monday on the blog. You can read the whole case in detail. And we already also received a comment there on LinkedIn in this case, which I wanted to share with you, Andrea and Daniel. Maybe it's a nice start into our session. So Sven is writing us and he says, other transport companies can benefit from the experience in Montevideo by applying similar methods to improve their own processes. For example, they could optimize their timetables, maintenance and repair processes, or even the ticketing system. By analyzing processes and uncovering weak points, inefficient processes can be improved and bottlenecks eliminated. This can lead to higher customer satisfaction, lower costs, and faster turnaround times. Transport companies also benefit from the experiences in Montevideo by aligning their own data sources and systems and improving data quality. This allows them to better use their data to gain insights into their processes and make decisions. So I think Sven is very right about this. And the topic of open data is a really interesting one, and it's actually available in more places than people might be aware of. I once talked to a researcher in Switzerland who also showed me websites with a lot of open data that was available for their town there in Switzerland regarding also some traffic data, but also kind of repair processes. And so it's something interesting to watch out for. And we would actually also be curious to hear from all of you watching right now if you have seen either interesting applications for open data analysis, or if you are aware of open data maybe that nobody has analyzed yet but you think someone should do it. Please send us the pointers, we will include it with the session, so we can all benefit from it. Now, to get started with your open data analysis session, Andrea and Daniel, maybe we can start by hearing a little bit about how this project started. Please tell us how this started.
Yes. Well, our university has a unit that funds research projects. And there are different types of calls. And one of the calls that they regularly do is with partnerships with other organizations in the country. In this one, the municipality of Montevideo has the open data and another data that they wanted to analyze for urban mobility and also for the ambient things like the garbage and that. So they made a call for research projects to answer several questions that they also included in the call. So it was really nice to have that, the definition of the problem and the data. And so we presented our proposal to analyze the data with process mining and try to add another view to the data they usually analyze in another way.
Yes. So that's interesting. So the request to analyze the data came from the municipality itself. It's not that you saw, oh, there's open data, we can do something with it. But they said, we have open data, but we want people to do something with it. And then they started this call.
Yes, it's a joint call with the unit in our university. It's a specific research project call, and they provided the data and also the questions and also other data that could complement the open data.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how they decided to provide any open data? What triggered this decision to make data open to the public in the first place?
There is an open data catalog where all organizations or many organizations in the government put different data sets of open data. It's not only the municipality. There, mm-hmm. in the catalog.
Yeah, in fact,
yes, maybe Daniel, you want to comment something.
Yeah, in fact, the government has a project in order to publish, and they mandate as mandatory. They said to the public to publish some open data interesting to the government, to the people, to the citizens. Is part of some kind of transparency objective of the government.
Okay.
So sometimes there is interesting data to process, some other times not. But we have a lot of in the case of the metropolitan transport system, there is a lot of useful information to process there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Huh? So you're saying some of the data is interesting, especially from the perspective of a process mining researcher. Not all the data is usable for process mining, right? We have one question in the chat from Putvaldo, what process mining is. Now, we don't have time to explain process mining in detail now, but of course, from a process mining perspective, we are looking for a very specific type of data, right? It needs to be data about processes. So we need a case ID, an activity name, and a timestamp as the minimum three requirements. And yeah, some of the data sets are maybe more static, more statistics, not event related.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Okay. And so the request they made was specific about the traffic open data that they wanted to have analyzed, or
they wanted to analyze several issues about the mobility in the city, not mm-hmm. only the transport system. They provided questions also about, for example, if you do some change in some streets or some streets are not are changed for traffic to people walking or something. They were exploring some questions, and there were also specific questions about transport, including, for example, comparing mobility pre-COVID and post-COVID, because there are some changes there from the pandemic, and the mobility was also changed after we recover normality. But and they try to analyze several things about the use of the bus lines and the specific trips and stops that the bus lines has. Because maybe sometimes you can use this analysis and how people use the stops and the bus lines trigger changes that are useful for the city.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, and nowadays there are often these kind of transportation cards, right, where people check in, or so it's not that you pay in cash when you enter the bus like you maybe used to do, but yeah, we have these digital traces in the buses, so there it's useful data to analyze.
Yeah, most of that information is not openly available. Mm-hmm. What we did is to took those interests, those questions, to search for open data and try to analyze if we can answer a subset of those questions using those that open data available. We also imagine and we also propose within the proposal that if we can get some other information, we can also do some other kind of things. So, at the end, we end using open data, but also some other not openly available data, which can also be openly available, let's say, and other more proprietary data of the community cannot be distributed.
Yeah. Okay, so that's an interesting point. So if I understand you correctly, there was already open data available and they asked people to analyze it, but then once you started to look at this data, to analyze it, you found some pieces of data that were missing to do a good analysis, and some pieces could have been open, so they were not sensitive. They just didn't think about including it. So, yeah, they could actually improve, let's say, the usefulness of their open data, but they also gave you access maybe to some additional data, which was not part of the open.
Exactly.
Yes, we realized that during the project when we started to analyze the data. For example, for the bus line approach that we published in the blog, we realized that we needed to identify the case ID. We needed some connection that was not in the open data. We needed to know not only which variant of the bus line was in the trip, in the register of the trip, but also the frequency, the corresponding hour at the trip has to stop, to start, sorry, and also the day of the frequency, because each frequency goes, for example, from Monday to Friday at 8 a.m., always a bus start a trip. So we need to identify exactly the trip to be able to analyze that. And they didn't add the frequency, the relationship with the registers of the smart card, the trip of the person, with the frequency, because they didn't realize that this could be useful, because they are not aware of the analysis with process mining. So they analyze data as usually with data view, not process mining view. So, yes. But there was no problem in having that that data added.
Yes, let's make it a little bit more concrete and look at it, right? So we took the pictures from the article, so we can use that to illustrate a little bit and walk through the project that you did. So so you should see now the first picture, which illustrates the situation where the data is coming from, right? So this is the context to make sure we all understand where the data is collected. We already talked about these kind of cards, the smart cards people use to check into the bus. So they are shown here in the top left corner, and they are leaving the digital traces in the bus. And then in the lower left corner, you see an extract of the kind of data that is being collected in this open data set. And so the timestamp, of course, is one thing we need for process mining. The stop ID is actually, that's interesting, right? That's the, a bus has a route, so, and it has certain predefined stops, right? So if someone gets in, for example, at a particular stop, then that's also being recorded, like at which time, but also at which stop the person is entering this bus. So that's information that we are going to use. There's also information what type of smart card, what type of, is this a student with a student card, or is it someone with a kind of a day ticket, right? So the type of ticket. And the trip ID is more or less like like just a, an event ID, right? But so what this means is if we're, you put an example here from the line 125. So on the left side, you see the map with the stops. So this is the predefined route. Every P on it is like one stop. And then in the middle, you see we see the process map that you've created, which is basically the same. It's the same route, right? It's every activity is like one stop. So yeah, so it's like the reference model. And if you would go through this bus line and yeah, record every stop, you would get this kind of sequence. But of course, in reality, that's not how buses are used, right? Sometimes the bus doesn't stop and maybe multiple people get in. So that's then what you get with process mining. By analyzing this data, you discover the true process. And to explain how you did that, we wanted to look at the process map. So here we see in Disco the process map that was discovered. And maybe we can first, before we look into the map, right, go back to the source data that we imported to see which data was used. So like you've explained, this is the date. So this is the date when the person entered. So we also included here the type of the ticket. That's whether it's a student ticket or a day ticket. That's also kind of a more specialized description, right? And then now we come back to what you just explained, Andrea, where if we think about it from a process mining perspective, it's actually not so easy. The stop is still easy. So this is here the code of the bus stop. It's a four-number code. So yeah, there's a sequence of four-number codes describing the possible stops on the line. But then for the case ID, you had to use different things. So you had to use the date because the same route is being done on different dates at different times. And can you say again, what's the frequency? What does the frequency mean?
Is the defined departure of each trip, for example, Monday to Friday at 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. A bus must start its trip.
Yes.
Yes. And so there is another timetable for Saturday and a different one for Monday. Sunday, sorry.
Yes.
So
yes.
Each one has to be also explained with the specific date to be able to separate the instance.
Yes, exactly. So by combining these, because during the import, we can combine different fields for the activity, but also for case ID. So here we need to combine these multiple fields to make the case ID unique so that for every case is really one trip of the bus going through the route. But then once the bus is on the next day or later in the day taking the same route, it's a different case, right? So to have this unique case for this view. And then, so now we understand what's behind this. And if we're looking at the map, I think then we can start to understand how can we read this map with this particular perspective on it, right? So we see the starting point here, and we see that there's different starting activities in the process map. And what this means, maybe we can understand this better if we look at some cases. So for example, here's one case, a very rather short one at 4 a.m. So maybe, there were not too many people going into this bus at 4 a.m. Maybe has to do with the time, right?
Exactly.
And I think what we need to understand is that sometimes we see a repetition. So for example, here we see for the same stop, this stop is 4772. We see two events. This means that two people checked in, right? Because every person that checks in at the same stop will make an event, correct?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay, so this is like one, but if we look at another one, for example, we see here the first stop is 4763. So if we look at the map, 4763 is actually this one. It's the second from the top. So we see, although the first stop in the line would be 4041, actually nobody got in at this very first stop, but the first person got in at the second stop, right? That's why we see also this dotted line. So this means that there's some trips that start here. So the self loops are multiple people getting in the same stop, and these dotted lines mean that people can, yeah, start in different places. So, yeah, so I think that's the first step, right? You use this open data to, yeah, not just look at the bus lines, how they're defined and what the calendar is for them, but now with this smart traffic card usage data, you can actually show how are they used, where are people getting in, where are they getting off. So what was your first experience when you showed these type of process maps to the people in this project?
Well, I can say that first the color of the stops that show how many people use each stop is they think it's nice to be able to get that information at the very first look, for example.
Yeah, you see more frequent stops, right? They are more dark, yes. Darker color, yes.
Because they already analyzed the data, they know which are the stops more used for the lines. But looking at this in that way is they say that this was good, also. Yes, I think. But we have to explain also several things for people to understand, because they are used to see things on the map mostly. And work always with a grid of the city or something below. So that's also another thing that was that we talked with them.
Yeah, that's like leading towards the next steps a little bit already, right? But already maybe one additional thing you could show them is the process map, but also in performance, right? So we, for example, here, if we're looking at mean duration, we can see, of course, we also have the time information with process mining. So you see how long does it take, for example, from one stop to the other stop. So how did they react to that? Was that something interesting for them to see?
I think that they realized that they can see something that is not completely explicit nowadays. However, they have a lot of accumulated experience along the years. Mm-hmm. So some experts really understand how the metropolitan system behaves and what are the hours at which in some specific place there is some kind of struck in the mobility, and where they have some kind of problems, what are the lines more crowded, and so on. So I it's my personal opinion, they don't find this completely outstanding, completely suppressive in some way at first sight, okay? They don't love it at first sight. But then if you start dipping a little bit on the kind of things these kind of models provide, they start seeing that they can very easily understand some behaviors which are not completely present nowadays. In fact, they don't see behaviors in terms of connections, activities, and in terms of processes, let's say, but in terms of data, in terms of, I mean, not data, but measures, let's say. They know that there are, I don't know, 300 people using that kind of line, but they really don't know exactly, or it is a little bit hard to get that information from data in some useful manner.
Yes, yes. I can see what you mean. So they have this data. Of course, they're also analyzing it in some kind of aggregate way, right? So they have some general statistics.
Exactly.
What other popular lines? I mean, they must have also to adjust the schedule, how often it should be running, for example, on the weekends and on weekdays and things like that. But yeah, so
And also, mm-hmm. sorry, and there's a lot of traditional tools which are most related with
dashboards.
Operative research and simulation and dashboards and so on, which are not completely separated from process mining. We've seen that there can be contrary to this kind of things. Mm-hmm. So they also have some a completely different perspective on the data and how the whole system behaves.
Yeah.
Yes, but I think they also appreciate this thing of looking at the things on the process directly. For example, the stops more use, they know which stops are. They already know that because they already analyzed that. But when we show it in the process and we say this is the movement of the complete month, May 2022, for this line, this variant, and for them was, I think, nice to also have it in the same place, visualizing that. With the meaning of the colors, and also in the performance, we also did a presentation of the closing of the project a couple of weeks ago in the municipality, mm-hmm. and for example, the director, what he said was it also was nice to see the things that they already analyzed and confirm that that's what the data says. For example, we know which stops in the performance image. We know that zone is the terminal of the buses zone, and it's always crowded. So it's there are always delays for every bus line has delays there. It's a very troubled zone of the city to traverse by bus or by car even. So, and when we show them that, and we say, okay, this is Tres Cruces, is Three Crosses, is the name of the terminal. They say, mm-hmm. oh, yes, of course.
So, we know.
Yes. But it was also nice that we put that the models also show the delays, the transitions, show the minutes, and they can compare in the same view. They can see that the first transition are seconds or less than minutes, and then there are 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, depending on the on the stops that the bus goes within that zone. So I think that is something that the perspective of process to see the routes mm-hmm. and all the trips as a process and specific instance each trip and the consolidated of the months, I think that is something that could add, or they evaluate as added value for yes. this type of analysis.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point. So if you add this process perspective, right, it provides this slightly other view, but it's not always like that. It's completely surprising. Sometimes it can also have this effect that it actually confirms something that people already knew, maybe in other ways, or sometimes only as a gut feeling, but it can still have value to be able to show something explicitly and to confirm something that people already somehow knew a little bit, or maybe knew in a different way to maybe communicate it better or to make it explicit, right? So we have here, we want to show it again, also another performance view where you have another line where you then show this performance, right? There was, again, different alternatives. People get in at different places, but yeah, we can see kind of the different timing for that. So maybe before we go into the next stage, we see we have some questions in the chat, and it's a little bit longer, but I think maybe I can read it so we can bring it into the discussion. So Scott is saying many European cities use a control model for public transport where no ticket is swiped, but rather the assumption is that a passenger will show a ticket if asked by an official. Also, more and more public transit authorities offer an all-you-can-travel option, for example, yearly cards. I wonder if any listeners know if others of other smart card city initiatives. It's true. It depends on the type of system, of course, that's used, right? Which type of data you get. And so I think Scott is asking this to the whole community, if other people have seen this and how this kind of data problem can be overcome. And I think he's speaking of Vienna specifically. Vienna, where I live, has a lot of smart card city data analysis, but they don't have passenger data, as this is granularly, although they have bus, tram, subway data. So yeah, so that's true. Huh? It's also maybe something related to what Scott said. I think the granularity is one thing, but also there are privacy issues, right? So you mentioned that some of the data that you received from the municipality were things they didn't think about to include, which was also in principle open data. So they could have included it in the first place, but also some things that are maybe confidential or they wouldn't put in the open data. So can you give an example for data that you were allowed to analyze, but they wouldn't give out to the public data completely?
Yes, well, this is one of the analyses that we did with the trips and the passengers' smart card registers, but other analysis that we didn't present in the blog, but we did that part of the project, was to specifically analyze the behavior of different physical bus units, for example, to know which physical bus unit is assigned to each line and what happens during the day with the physical unit or during the different lines that it is used to. That is something that the enterprises will analyze with the municipality, but is not maybe something that they are sharing as open data. Is more like inside information of the transport system.
Yes.
And also, of course, all the passengers, that data is anonymized, and open data has no identification of the card.
Yes. Yeah, of course. Exactly. Yeah, so you don't know if the same person is
doing another trip. We cannot connect any trip with a person.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, for example, we needed to analyze multi trips. So we want to know if... We also perform some analysis about behavior of citizens. And in that case, we needed the information of which is the citizen, or at least which is, if in several days, the same cards perform the same trips and so
yes,
on.
Yes, the idea of the card that is not released.
The idea
is not
card,
released as open
exactly.
data.
Mm. And if you also want to connect the card ID with the demographic information of citizens,
of course,
which
yeah.
are also available, and to understand some other things, for example, which is the behavior of some people, some specific social demographical aspect, you don't have that information openly available.
Yeah.
But it is available
yes.
somehow.
Internally, yes.
Of course, internally they have the ID card and they have other information about the people. Yes, mm-hmm. Of course. Mm-hmm. There are other things that we didn't mention about that. It was not only one data set. The open data came in several data sets. So although in this analysis we worked with the number of the stop, we could easily put the corresponding streets of each stop to make it more understandable. And there is also the geographical information, the shape files that we will present after. And there are several data sets, and also, as Daniel mentioned, from another organizations in the government, because the catalog is of open data is from mm-hmm. all the organizations. For example, there are informations also of the people and everything of the neighborhoods, or yeah. Not all anonymized, but there are other possibilities to add more information to the complete analysis of the use of the transport system. That is the main objective too.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a nice thing about also your article. We will include, of course, the article again with when we publish the video with the show notes, so people who haven't read it can see all the details in there. You go in much more detail and you describe the three different data sources that you used and what the fields are. And you even share in a repository the data, the open data, and all the scripts that you use. So, yeah, you can really, if you want, you can really follow exactly the steps that Andrea and Daniel took. And
also, and can I add something regarding sure. the observation that the Scott was the person that
yes, Scott. Yeah.
Okay, because we used the information of the trips, because it's one thing that that we have, but as you see in the models, the stops that are skipped sometimes is mm-hmm. Because no one registers a ticket there, so yes. no mm-hmm. one gets in the bus. But we also have another data set that corresponds to the GPS information of the mm-hmm. bus. So We didn't analyze it together, but one could also add the GPS information on each stop to see if the bus stops there or not. Yeah. Because
if it's longer in a specific place,
yes.
so it has stopped physically, right? So it's a different way to detect a stop.
Yes,
yeah.
Because someone get off the bus, but as we are only working with the registrations of the tickets when people get in the bus.
That's a good point. We didn't say that yet. We have only
yes.
when people get in, when people get out,
yes.
the bus may stop, but we don't see it in the map.
Exactly,
right.
Exactly. And I was thinking about Utrecht, because we were last
yes.
Year in Utrecht, in BPM, and we were used to only pass the card when you get in, and then there,
yes.
you also have to pass it when you get off the
That's
bus,
true.
Because if not, you are charged the complete bus line amount
yes,
from
yes,
start
yes.
to the end. And that's another thing that we don't have, the get off the bus, but mm-hmm. would also enrich the analysis.
Yes, absolutely. Very good point. I'm glad we mentioned that, yes. So different systems, different possibilities, but here we see people getting on the bus. Yes, so maybe let's move to the next step, because what you did so far is you analyzed the open data that was there to discover and to visualize the process flows. As we have seen, we can look at it in DISCO, like from the frequency view, we can look at the performance view. But then, like you mentioned in your discussions, you saw that people were more used to looking at thinking about the city in terms of the city map, right? So you have this spatial dimension where things have a certain place and the route goes through a certain route, so it's connected to this where things are in space. And of course, this is what maps are about. So in the next step, you're combining actually the process mining information with another open data set, right? I imagine that's also open data, like where the coordinates of the city are. And to do this, I can show you here in Disco, you use the XML export of the process maps in Disco. And maybe some of you don't know this, but any process map in Disco can be exported. Of course, often you want to export it as a PDF because this is a vector graphic, full quality that you can print really big even or share or put in a document. There are different image formats. You can export the metrics, you know, to Excel if you want to do further calculations with it. But there's also one other option here, which is XML. And if you export the process map as XML, we include the link to the user guide, which explains all the meanings of the different XML tags and there. But essentially, you export the logic of the process map along with all of the metrics. So all of the frequency metrics that we have, like absolute frequency, case frequency, repetitions, case coverage, but also the performance for the activities and the path. So all of this is included in a logical way in the process map export. So you use this XML export, and then you combine this with the open data from the city map. So please tell us a little bit more about what you did in the second stage of your project.
Yes, it's only a prototype to show that the models can be seen over the map, so providing even more information to the experts. So we use the QGIS open source software, and you can load any map or in the world. So you have to select. We select the Montevideo layer. And you have to select the coordinates and some the time zone and some things, but it's easy to load the map of the city you want. And then we also load the two layers that are also open data provided by the municipality that are the shape files. That means the geospatial location of each stop and of each route. So that's what is shown in that image.
So the red dot is one stop in the bus route?
All the stops in the city and the and the roads. And then we a student of us, Nicolas Carignani, who is also in the blog document and in the GitLab repository, he did Python scripts. So we can use as input the Disco XML models with the information that and said, and using the stops and the map that we already load as layers, draw the, for example, the model process and the performance over the different stops of the variant, and that's the other two things that we can show specifically over the city. And that was also interesting for the people. They also use different geospatial software. Even this QGIS is also used.
It's used by them also. Okay. So maybe to show what the effect of this is, right? So you, again, in the article, you describe it in detail. You also share the scripts, even the Python scripts, to turn the information from the Disco XML maps into information that can then be combined with these shape files. And so what the effect is, we want to show you here based on an example to make a little bit more clear. So, for example, here again, we have another line. It's line 21. And this is just the definition of the line, like we saw at the very beginning. So it's just, this is where the bus line runs. These are all the stops. It's the static definition information, right? Then With Prost mining, we can discover the maps, export them, and put them. Yeah. So this is what you have done, right? You exported the XML, you
yes.
put it, combined it, and projected it on the city map. So now, it's the information. We don't see the frequencies, so you leave off the frequencies here. But it's the actual usage of that bus line, and we can see it a little bit by these kind of, Maybe if we wanted to zoom in into this upper right piece to show it a little bit in more details. I think that's clearer to explain here. So you see how it's used, right? So on the street, you actually see multiple stops, but then the violet arrows show, like we have said before, it's not always that people get in at every stop. So there is one usage where people get in this middle stop, which is 21:28. But then in another trip, they went directly, so they didn't stop in 21:28, right? And this is what you can see here, right? So did you also put the numbers on it in another version, or you just put the process flow on the map?
This is the process flow.
But the frequency, you could also show the frequency as well, right?
You mean in the transitions?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but at this time we didn't show it.
No, we didn't put.
No, only the flow.
Yes, but it would be possible here in theory, right? You could
yes.
also
yeah.
bring in all yeah, this
yeah.
information.
Yes, yeah. I think yes.
Yeah. And the other one that you mentioned is the performance information. And I think this is also interesting. So it's a different type of visualization here. But there you use then the performance information from the discovered process map to project, right, on the map here.
Yes.
It looks a little bit different. So it's a different visualization that you use, not the...
No, I think it's the same bus line. But I think that is not the... The specific trips, I think it's consolidated. It's the mean or something that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, first, the process map at the left side of the picture is not complete.
Yes.
There are just a few stops. Yeah. But and also to project the information of the process maps into the Montevideo map, we also took different sections. We don't took only the information from one stop to another, but in some cases we aggregate a couple of stops in some zone. Okay, so that's why in some cases you see long lines, long red lines on log lines, because the performance is took from the process maps, which did not represent exactly the stops, but a set of stops.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's not the same as the other one. The other one is directly the model, the trips put over the map, so you can see which are the stops that are not used and all that, specifically in the streets and in the zones. But this is consolidated information on performance, but we can easily show the same as the other one.
Yeah.
It's just to show that there can be different, also different views, and the performance at what time we thought that would be better to mark the colors, so only the colors and not all the different possible going through the stops, so to be clearer the view. So it's the red zone on the left is the there is the zone that I was talking about, the terminal of buses. So for oh, yeah. example, near the left.
mm-hmm. Yeah, of course they both have advantages and disadvantages, probably, right? That's like with different visualization techniques. Yeah, so that's really nice to see. So so you got the idea from the feedback from the people that they kind of needed to see this kind of have this relation to the map. And then, yeah, once you showed it to them, what was the reaction then after you showed them this new prototype?
This was really surprising for them. Yeah, this really was. Because now they see things happening in the city. not in some abstract
They understood model. More process mind when we showed it. Yes. In the map.
You spoke their language. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Great. By the way, Scott mentioned that GPS information is exactly what they use in Vienna to do an analysis, and they can do quite a lot with it. Yeah. And also he appreciates the privacy discussion that we included. It's always important to include. So
thank you.
Thanks again. Great. So, well, thanks a lot for sharing your project. I'm curious, are there any next steps? Do you will continue with this type of research? Are there plans that you have? Maybe things you want to invite other researchers to work with you on, or anything else that you want to share?
Well, that's always. We are welcoming always a company to work and to share insights and knowledge and data sets. For example, all mm-hmm. open data from Uruguay. We put the links in the blog specifically for the municipality, but you can traverse all the catalog and Uruguay and find interesting data. And if you want to do something with us about that data or about other data that you have, we are all, of course, open to that. And specifically for this type of analysis, the municipality is working on another call to continue.
So there will be more projects coming.
So we probably see if what they are asking this time is compatible with this type of analysis, or try to see if we can add some value again to the projects of analyzing this data.
Great. Daniel?
I think that a nice next step is to analyze and understand how these kind of techniques can be used together with the traditional techniques they mm-hmm. use. For example, for mobility, they use a lot the origin destination matrix, mm-hmm. which is like the performance from going from one zone of the city to another zone, something like that. So they use a different kind of perspectives and visualization of the data, and it could be nice to see if there are complementary or not, and if some visualizations are better than the others, and how they can be used together to improve the analysis they do. I think that could be a nice next step.
Excellent.
Yes, a comparison between, but we should work on the same data set and provide the result that each technique mm. provides, so we are able to compare the benefits
which technique,
of each one and the limitations.
Great.
Yes.
Very interesting.
That's
nice. Very interesting. Well, thanks a lot for sharing this. We will stay in touch about that. I'm curious what comes out of this. So we will keep you all updated about next steps and follow-up projects. And also, like we said at the beginning, please share any other interesting applications that you see or have seen with open data. For example, one I remember, we had at the Prosmani Cafe once a presentation where someone was analyzing football match data. It was also open data, you know, how people were kind of playing in a match. Also,
yes, Wes, regarding that, in the maps, you could see the Centenarium Stadium in Montevideo,
okay.
where we expect to open the 100th celebration in 2030.
Wow. So there must be busy times at certain days in the traffic system.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, yes, they should prevent all the sound problems. Yes.
Okay, great. Well, thanks.
Okay, thank you. And very much for the opportunity to share this and to be part of the DISCO community and show how we also use DISCO and add some value too. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your invitation.
Thank you both. Thank you very much for sharing what you did for this interesting application and for sharing it with all of us here. So yeah, more than welcome. Thanks. Thanks again, and thanks to all of you watching right now for joining us. We will be back with another Postmoderne Cafe in 1 month, and it's going to be an interesting business case from the healthcare domain. So stay tuned. Thanks. Bye-bye, everyone.